Hi, this is John Voight, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. You clever people.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And I had a really great intro here, Kevin, but I got sidetracked by a new Got Milk ad featuring Hayden Panettiere.
Yes, who turned 18 this week. A happy day for men across the country.
Yes, so happy birthday to Hayden. Hopefully you got my card.
It wasn't intercepted by her security or anything like that. But
hopefully,
you know, the thing is she's not 18 in this picture because you didn't take it like 2 days ago.
I don't know. She's 18 now, though, so whatever thoughts are going to go through my mind during the course of the show as I figure out how to get this thing as my computer background, totally legal.
Well.
Good stuff.
Anyways, now that we've offended everybody right out of the game and driven people away.
Today is actually a very busy show. We are going to go to war,
ooh,
no pun intended. We have wall-to-wall movie coverage as opposed to just random banter.
Yeah, we're not actually going to fill it with stuff. We have more than enough
We've
room.
We've got celebrities, as you heard, John Voight. We've also got tons of movies to talk about. We got Mr. Bean's Holiday, Illegal Tender, The Nanny Diaries, featuring another very attractive blonde.
War, Resurrecting the Champ, September Dawn, all this good stuff.
Resurrecting the Champ, September Dawn, War. Did I mention that Hayden Panettiere turned 18?
Yes, we all know that. Sweet. Okay.
Anyways.
Calm down. Tell us, how do you get a hold of us if you want to talk to us? Oh, we also have we actually got fan mail today.
Yeah, we did.
Voicemail.
Can we play that at the end?
We'll play that at the end of
this
clip. We're
going to play that at the end. Somebody actually gave us a little voicemail. Pretty sweet. But if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can check us out on the web, fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and type in Fat Guys at the Movies. And if you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. That is our, sister site, I guess. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, which some people did this week, which is pretty awesome.
Rock on.
It is area code 614-388-8735. Or 388 Trek,
which means nothing this week.
Won't mean anything until like next year.
Yeah, when Star Trek comes out. But anyways, let's start off with movies we haven't seen, because there's like, I think, what, like 85 movies opening this week. The big one, one of the big ones out there is War, which stars Jet Li and
Jason Statham,
where they go to war. I think just the two of them,
something like that.
Let's hear a clip.
Get ready for a war.
And as you can hear, there's actually only two lines of dialogue in the entire movie. The rest is Jason Statham using inanimate objects to kick the crap out of like everybody.
Well, and the thing is, when I cut the trailer, I said this movie, like Transformers.
Yeah.
I just made it about the fighting because that's all I got from the trailer.
Right, and you can see the fighting on the radio.
Yeah, exactly, and it's important to talk about that. But, you know, Lionsgate didn't screen this for us, and it's in a long line of films not screened. You know, it's one of those things, if you like to see Jet Li and Jason Statham beat the living, you know, shale out of each other, probably not a bad movie to check out. But in tradition, because we didn't get a screening, I'm going to have to give it a preliminary sucks.
I think I have to break the rule this week. This one is so cool. This is one of those movies that, like, I know it's gonna at least kind of rock, because it's got Jason Statham, who is like the man. He is,
Are we gonna have another heterosexual?
He is the white Bruce Lee.
Okay, sure.
I mean, the man. I mean, he just. I was at work on my lunch, and I was watching The Transporter 2. It was on HBO, and I was like, it was a scene where he like takes out like six guys with a fire hose, and I'm like, this guy rocks.
You
man.
Do realize this guy's only like two or three movies from making the sequel to The Pacifier with With Walt Disney Company. You do realize
well,
that,
well, he's
you?
Also doing a Uwe Boll movie, so...
Uwe Boll.
Yeah, Dungeon Siege.
Sure.
But anyways, Jason Statham, ever since I saw him in Snatch, he is, you know, cannot go wrong. Jet Li, you add him in there. I mean, I don't care, literally.
Jet Li, who's like 50.
Yeah, but I
he's
don't care
guy.
If there is
he's
no
in
dialogue
40s,
in this movie.
Least.
It's the same thing as Transformers. As long as it's got Jason Statham and Jet Li beating the crap out of each other, I'm in, man. All so. Right. I'm gonna go with a recommendation. Go see it. Why not?
Okay. Let's talk about the next movie we haven't seen, which we don't even have a trailer for. Illegal Tender. I have in the notes. We're gonna talk about it for 2 seconds. So
okay.
It sucks.
I've never even watched a trailer for it.
Okay. Well, let's just move on because that movie looks like it's going nowhere, anyways. But let's talk about a movie that has somebody going somewhere, which is Rowan Atkinson in Mr. Bean's Holiday. Here's a clip.
Mr. Bean's Holiday.
Café?
Oui.
Du sucre?
Non.
You speak very good French.
Gracias.
Now, with that background music, I was kind of thinking like 80s John Hughes film, and then I was like, whoa, wait, Mr. Bean. Not good. I am glad to
like
give
Mr.
this
Bean?
One a big, huge, fat suck.
Oh, shame on you. Yes. How can you
he's
break
so
the rule and preemptively give War a rocks
on.
And say Mr. Bean's Mr. Bean rocks.
Mr. Bean was good as like that little like TV show character.
Yes, exactly.
Kind of like the guys from Night at a Roxbury, like they were good for like that 30 seconds on SNL and they made a movie and it was like
did you see Bean?
Stupid.
Did you see the first Bean?
Yeah.
Dude, it's hilarious.
I don't know.
It's hilarious.
Rowan Atkinson was really good in Love Actually. Like, that was kind of the height of his career for me.
Not exactly. Well, you know, considering the movie's almost made, like, it's made, like, almost $200 million already overseas. So it's just great.
I mean, they
the
like
US
it over
owns.
There. They're weird.
Dude, Mr. Bean's one of the most hilarious characters out there. And this movie, I have to say I like the first one better. But, and if you can tell from the clip, I didn't have a whole lot in there because most of it's nonverbal.
Yeah.
You know, slapstick. And it's absolutely hilarious. And what's nice about it is it's something you can take the whole family to. I took my kids. They loved it. They had fun. It's a cute film.
This is why everybody purposefully disagrees with you, Kevin.
Whatever. Which we were just talking earlier
yeah.
before we got
you
on the show.
You have a reputation of, like, if you disagree with Kevin, you're right.
Yeah, we were at a screening tonight, and I made a comment to another film critic that I hated this one movie. And he's like, you know, that makes me feel good because I liked it.
Yeah.
So I have a reputation out there.
People
but
are starting to feel my pain.
The Brits appreciate me because I like Mr. Bean.
Sure. Anyways.
Anyway, but we'll move on. We're going to go out. And we're going to play this guy's our latest fan voicemail.
Hey, Fat Guys Movie. This is your faithful listener, Drew Nugent, and I want to tell you that I love the show. And I just had a little question to ask you. Next time you interview a celebrity, can you tell them to say my name? My name is Drew Nugent. Tell them to say that, please. Because that would be so awesome. It's my goal in life to have a celebrity say my name. And so anyway, I just love the show. Awesome. Stellar. Great. Have a great day. Bye.
And we're back on Fat Guys at the Movies, and as you heard, our good friend Drew gave us a call in. He would made a little request. Thanks for calling in, first of all, Drew. But he requested that next time we talk to a celebrity, that we have them say his name. So, with that, I present Kevin Carr, a world-renowned film critic and competitive eater, who you can hear all over town and the country on the radio talking about movies and eating.
Yes.
So, Kevin, would you mind saying Drew's name?
Absolutely. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Drew Nugent.
Sweet. So there you go,
on.
Drew.
He's
so
awesome.
Not only did a famous Kevin Carr, but also a very famous editor of a very big movie website said your name. I'll let you guess who that is.
Oh, okay. Well,
anyways.
We got to get back to reviews.
We
got to
get back to the movies.
Thanks,
we
Drew, for giving us the voicemail. But let's move on. The next one we want to talk about is this movie was actually bumped out of a spring release into August, from the Weinstein Company, was actually notorious for shuffling things around. Supposedly, they moved it for Oscar bait for Scarlett Johansson. And, of course, I am talking about The Nanny Diaries. Let's hear a clip.
Child-rearing around the world boasts a wide variety of customs and mores.
Stop eating them boogers!
In Africa, they have a saying, it takes a village to raise a child. But for the tribe of the Upper East Side of Manhattan, it takes just one person. The nanny.
And
Neil, stop
as you
eating
heard,
them boogers.
As you heard, Scarlett Johansson's in the movie. It's a good start.
Yeah.
But Kevin, I really only have one thing to say about this movie. This is my review right here.
She wasn't in a bikini. That's the problem.
She was close enough.
No, she wasn't.
I enjoyed the Scarlett Johansson factor, but let me say this. This movie feels a lot like The Devil Wears Prada from last year. And it is.
And they even have a cameo where somebody's reading the book The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, I mean, literally, it's kind of the same story, just substitute nanny for assistant. You know, that's pretty
instead
much
of publisher, you've got completely airhead, you know,
right, I mean, instead
mother.
Of Meryl Streep, you have Laura Linney. Instead of Anne Hathaway, you have Scarlett Johansson, which I think is kind of an upgrade.
Instead of a fashion magazine, you have a child.
Right. Okay. But let me tell you what this movie is. For the ladies, so for the three or four ladies that actually listen to our show, this is the ultimate date movie revenge. This movie makes up for both Transformers and Superbad. Because we know that we dragged you to both of those films.
And you liked it. You secretly liked it. But you can't let on that you liked it.
Take your guy to see this. Guys, it's not all that bad. It is 2 hours of Scarlett Johansson.
Well,
I mean, literally, 2 hours of Scarlett Johansson. And I tell you what, no, she does not take off her clothes.
You see her panties in one scene, but that's in the trailer, actually.
Yeah. But it's worth it. She's great. I thought she was good in the movie. I thought Laura Linney was great. Overall, I enjoyed it, but I'm a sap for chick flicks. Like,
although you don't see any of them.
I see them all.
No, you don't.
Dude.
You've never seen Bridget Jones's Diary.
All right, so that's like the one. And I like British films. I don't know what that is.
Except Mr. Bean's Holiday you didn't like.
That's not a chick flick.
It's a British film.
Yeah, but I like good
you're
British
films.
You're
just one giant box
of lies today.
Yeah, you're just like making things up.
But I will say that I did sincerely enjoy this film. It was very entertaining.
The thing with The Nanny Diaries, I thought it was decent. I thought it was a good film. You're right. It did really feel like they're trying to make a grab for The Devil Wears Prada.
Mm.
And it's not as well put together of a film as The Devil Wears Prada. A lot of it's because of the motivation behind it. Because in Devil Wears Prada, Anne Hathaway's character wanted to be in publishing, so she's sort of like paying her dues. And she knew that this the Meryl Streep character could completely destroy her. In the publishing world, if she wanted her to. Whereas in The Nanny Diaries, she takes a job as a nanny because she had nothing else to do.
Because she couldn't figure out what she wanted to do with her
life. And, and she needed a job. And so there's not that passion to do it. And it's like, I like the kid and all that kind of thing. So it's not, you know, she could have just walked away at any point. And so that's where I feel it was a little weaker of a story. But it's still decent. I mean, it's a cute film. A
movie like that, I mean, it made it more cutesy. It made it more, like, you know, just kind of...
Yeah.
Cheeky than The Devil Wears Prada. There's no really serious element, you know, other than like she lies to her mom.
Yeah,
like no big deal.
Oh well, who doesn't lie to their mom? Come on.
So, but
no,
I would
that's
say
oregano.
You know, there was no point in the movie where I was like, "Gosh, I want to leave." You know, it was entertaining, good for a date night.
Yeah.
Moving. I'm gonna give it a rocks.
I'm gonna say sort of rocks on this one. Cool. But let's move on. Speaking of rocks, let's go on to Resurrecting the Champ. From award-winning filmmaker Rod Lurie. Let's play a clip.
Old man, you okay?
It's fun to beat the champ.
You see the champ? What are you talking about?
Battling Bob Satterfield. Number 3 in the world.
Well, there's this boxer. He's living on the streets.
Boom!
This article is my title shot.
Is this Eric Kernan? You write that article?
I just saw him last night.
Are you sure about that?
Makes it kind of interesting trailer, but I'll tell you, this movie has Oscar nomination for Samuel L. Jackson written all over it.
That was actually going to be my whole review. Sam Jackson.
He's
the
totally
dude.
Worth
this is like his movie.
Totally worth it. And we have an interview later in the show with Rod Lurie, the director. He talks, he gives a nice little... tips on how to direct Sam Jackson.
Right.
This I thought it was really good. I completely was sucked in, and part of it's because it's about a writer, and you know you can identify as a writer and a journalist.
I can't, but
and it's about a father son relationship. I got a 6 year old. The character is a 6 year old son.
Right.
This one really touched me. I mean, this is totally rocks movie. It's definitely one. Do not miss Resurrecting the Champ. One of the better movies of the year.
I thought it was well made. I mean, I didn't get into it like you got into it.
Yeah, it's good.
But I think anybody who enjoys that kind of underdog story or the, you know.
And it's more than just this feel-good movie. There's twists and
yeah, I mean, it's not your average feel-good movie. It overall just a satisfying experience. It didn't blow me away, but I can see Sam Jackson just gives a great performance in this one.
Yeah.
I give it a kind of rocks.
Sam Jackson.
For Sam Jackson.
Awesome. All
So, anyways, moving on.
Let's move on to another film. It's a little more controversial. September Dawn, starring John Voight.
About the Nanny Diaries.
Yeah, it's just like the Nanny Diaries, only slightly different. Takes place in the past. It tells the story of the Meadow Mountains Massacre in 1857, where a group of Mormons out in the Utah Territory slaughtered a wagon train of settlers. Kind of for no good reason, and it's a black mark on the Mormon history. But here's a clip.
I am the voice of God, and anyone who doesn't like it will be hewn down. Mormons, do your duty.
Jehovah created me to be your God on earth.
These people are different. I find them interesting.
We have a duty to perform. It's a duty we owe to God.
Tell me what's happening.
Too late for everybody. It started too late.
Do you think he's God on earth?
No! You know, all I could think of through that whole trailer was Terrence Stamp saying, I am the voice of Zod.
You will bow down before me, Joro.
About Zod. I had flashbacks of my interview with Pete Siegel, where he's like, he tells a story about Terrence Stamp doing Zod in his white tennis shorts. It's a long story. Read my article on Film School Rejects. But anyways, back to the movie. But we were discussing this earlier, but that the trailer is actually more exciting than the film. Mm. Very true.
Yeah, I don't know. After seeing the movie, I think it's a significant story, and I think it's definitely good. We've got interviews later coming up with both John Voight and Christopher Kane, the director. I think the intentions are good. It does come across a bit like a TV movie, kind of like Kenny Rogers, The Gambler,
definitely,
rather than an actual Hollywood picture. Yeah. It's not like Young Guns, which Christopher Kane also directed.
Right.
So I'm going to have to kind of say kind of sucks for this one.
Yeah, I really think I agree, because it felt like it would have worked out better as a documentary. Like,
yeah,
it's really, you know, it's like Titanic, only without the production value.
And there's no ship that sinks.
Right, but you know what's going to happen. Yeah. They're all going to get killed.
Well, but I mean, it's just the human story that they tell behind it, I don't think is all that powerful. I think it's a more significant event, and it just felt like a TV movie to me.
Right.
So,
I mean, my question film at the end was why.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm going to give it a kind of sucks as well. Okay. So that's what I have to say.
Well, we got to go to break. So that's our look at the films that are coming out this week.
Holy smokes, we actually got through them all.
Yeah, when we come back later in the show, we're going to have interviews with a bunch of people.
Flowers lonely, burn out slowly like a cigarette. Would you kiss me?
And we're back, and you're listening to Fat Guys Movies. And before we move along to some sweet celebrity interviews and a really
glorious top 10 list.
Sure.
You've been doing this long enough that I finish your sentences for you. We're like an old married couple. I would say without the sex.
You've kind of let yourself go over the years.
I know. You know, I've gotten fat in my in our relationship.
Oh, well, at least you're eating healthy with your fruit and nut trail mix. Water?
Yeah, zero calorie.
Oh, it's flavored water.
Flavored water. It's
so
Enon
trendy.
Springs. Well, I've never heard of Enon Springs. God knows where that is. It's in like Fallujah.
See, even in the busiest, most jam-packed show, we still find time to waste time.
That's right.
It's fantastic. Anyways, on to the box office. This week's kind of a light release week in the sense that The Nanny Diaries is the largest release. It's in 2,600 theaters, 1,000 theaters less than Bourne. And War is only in 2,200. So as much as they're predicting War to do well, I know John, who writes our Reject Report, predicted it at 30 million. I don't even think it's going to come close to that.
I don't even think 20.
Which he's usually pretty on. Like, he does a very, very good job over Film School Rejects of being, you know, he always gets the order right, it seems.
Well, the only thing that might help is this is like the last weekend where people can go before school starts on the big time and everything.
Yeah.
I just don't. There's a lot of movies opening this week. I don't think there's anything that's really, you know.
You know what I think is going to top the box office?
What was that?
I think Superbad is going to get a 2 week in a row thing, because I think it's getting great Superbad's word of mouth.
And the reason Superbad's going to do it is because Superbad is going to be that last chance to see your raunchy comedy before going back to school.
Right.
War. It just there's been a whole bunch of these sort of action flicks that just kind of squeak out there and sort of, bleh, you know, don't do much.
And let me tell you, people, go see Superbad now, because for the rest of the year, it's just going to be political war, anti-war movies, and westerns, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, I think Mr. Bean Holiday might give Nanny Dyers a run for its money.
Yeah, the only problem is it's only in 1,700 theaters. It's down there with, like, Resurrecting the Champ, very almost limited release.
Yeah.
So I don't think any of the movies this week are going to top.
They're pushing the heck out of it, though, in the in the kid shows and the networks and stuff like that. They're really, really pushing.
You know, kids dig Mr. Bean because he doesn't talk, I guess. I don't know. But I think the Nanny Diaries probably will come in the top three.
Oh,
if any of them are going to break in the top three, it's going to be Nanny Diaries. War, I think that is going to be a disappointment. One, because they didn't screen it. Two, because it's not in enough theaters.
But so. Nanny Diaries, this is significant for the Weinstein Company if they can, because they haven't had a real bona fide hit since like 1408.
Right.
And, you know, Sicko kind of came out there and then kind of fell down pretty quick.
It'll do well on DVD.
Yeah, it'll do well on DVD. And it's doing well for a documentary, but it's no Fahrenheit 9/11, you know, performance-wise.
Right. Yeah.
But Nanny Diaries, if it doesn't do well, they're going to have some serious problems. If it does do well, it might really help the studio push their Oscar picks.
Right. And Scarlett Johansson.
That's right.
There you go.
All right. Well, we got to go now. And sure. When we come back, we're going to be doing our awesomely cool top 10 list.
I'll come back too.
And here we are back with Fat Guys at the Movies. And I'll tell you, with War coming out this weekend, we really thought Jason Statham, Jet Li, beating the holy shale out of each other. Who else in cinematic history?
What could be better than that?
Yeah,
so
what
we found
has been better?
10 movies that could potentially be better.
The 10 best cinematic showdowns. Now, with a caveat.
A little bit.
This is in our lifetime. You know, I don't remember any 1920 movie from the 1920s where people like really kind of got the smack down on each other.
Yeah.
But this is just in our lifetime because, you know, we are completely narrow-minded fools.
If we did chase scenes, we'd have to go back to, like, Steve McQueen. But
oh, yeah, Bullet.
There's nothing that really stands out. But there's some older movies in there. You'll see. I think you'll enjoy. So let's start out at number 10 with from Batman Returns, Batman versus Catwoman, where she walks out and says, meow, and then that blows up, and then they kick the crap out of each other. He throws her off a building. It's great.
Yeah, and not only is it a great scene, Michelle Pfeiffer is uber hot in the Catwoman outfit.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd pay money for her to kick the crap out of me.
Seriously, and that's like the first time you really kind of see her in action in the leather.
Yeah.
So, but still, one of the better Batman movies.
Absolutely.
Despite what happened afterwards.
Yeah. Well, let's go down to number 9. We've got from Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Dumbledore versus Voldemort. Now, I wasn't a huge fan of this as a Harry Potter movie, but for fans of Harry Potter to actually see two wizards go at it in a duel for the first time in the series, pretty awesome. My favorite part was when Voldemort belched flame out of his mouth.
Nice.
That was really cool.
Well, actually, I enjoyed the scene. I'm glad that the film critic sitting next to me during the screening woke me up for it. So
was that me who woke you up, or was it somebody?
No, it was somebody else. Oh, okay. You weren't sitting with me during Harry
Potter. Yes, I was. I was sitting right next to you.
Oh, you were on the other side. Anyways. Yeah,
whatever.
Moving along, number 8, another one of my personal favorites, Neo versus Morpheus in The Matrix during the training scene.
The training sequence. One of the coolest things to see. Even if you pop the DVD in now, after you've seen Bullet Time and the virtual camera
still
stuff.
Still one of the coolest things ever.
Still incredibly awesome.
Stop trying to hit me and hit me.
Yeah. I've tried that, walking up that beam and flipping over.
Yeah.
I didn't even get up the beam.
Actually, the beam cracked once.
we'll move on to number 7. This is Lee, as in Bruce Lee, versus Han in Enter the Dragon. This is the Hall of Mirrors scene.
God, this is one of the older ones on our list. This is one of the coolest martial arts scenes you'll ever see. And there's not like a ton of fighting in it. It's just the mirrors and it's trippy, man. It's
and
like
Enter the Dragon's
trip.
Great for this kind of stuff too, because you got the whole scene where Jackie Chan breaks his neck. You know the scene where like he's in the basement. This isn't the scene, but it's part of Enter the Dragon, and like 50 ninjas come at him at once, stupidly attacking him one at a time, and he kills them all.
That's how they always do it.
Yeah, duh. And they're in that scene. I think it was that scene that Jackie Chan was a young stuntman and got his neck broken.
Right.
In that scene.
I mean, that whole movie could be like 1 through 10.
The whole.
But anyways,
thing. Move on to number 6.
Number 6, Make My Day.
That's right.
Dirty Harry. versus the Scorpio Killer in Dirty Harry. Clint Eastwood, before he was, you know, Clint Eastwood, the director slash composer slash golfer slash whatever he does now.
He was a politician,
back
too.
Back when he was just a BAMF, otherwise known as a BAMF.
Okay.
You figure the acronym out for yourself.
There you go. But I'll tell you, yeah. What's so great about this is it's really not a showdown with fighting and martial arts or anything. It's just him just going after this guy.
Thick tension. Thick cinematic tension at its best.
It's not the first time he says it in the movie, but it's the most effective.
Yes.
Come on, punk.
Probably the most effective time he's ever said that.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyways, moving on.
Number five, Martin Riggs versus Mr. Joshua in Lethal Weapon. Back before Gary Busey went insane. this is after his before his motorcycle accident.
Right.
Apparently, he was the crazy blonde hitman in Lethal Weapon, and it's when he and Martin Riggs just beat the holy crap out of each other in a front lawn in the rain, martial arts, and all that kind of stuff. Does end with that little bit of the "it's not worth it," and then he pulls a gun out. You know that the big action
movie
cliche.
What great showdown doesn't end?
But
like
I'll tell you, it's an awesome. Just beating the snot out of each other in the rain in a front lawn. That's an awesome showdown.
Yep, and onward to number four, another a fanboy call out our first Star Wars reference. I have a feeling it may not be our last.
Yeah.
But Luke Skywalker versus Darth Vader in Empire, not in Jedi.
Yes.
This is the one where Luke ultimately kinda gets his behind kicked and arm cut off and
It
doesn't end well, but it's a great fight scene.
The movements aren't as completely slick as the new prequels, but my favorite part of this is when, you know, Luke is just so tired, and then Darth Vader just with his mind starts throwing things at him, just like ripping things off the wall, and he's like desperately trying to smash, and he just it's a mess. It's complete downer, but an awesome
fight. I mean, it sets you up for an entirely great movie. I mean, if without that fight scene, Jedi wouldn't have been as good as it was.
Absolutely. So. Number three, we've got Rocky Balboa versus Apollo Creed in Rocky 2.
Yeah, we had a little debate about this one.
Very hard, because he fought Apollo Creed, technically fought Apollo Creed in three movies, because there was right at the end of Rocky 3. But first movie, Rocky loses. In the second movie, Rocky wins. And it's just that he really took it to the limit. Actually, much more into the fight. That movie was, I think, made much more for the fighting scenes than the first one was.
Revenge is a sweet...
And he wins, like, by the skin of his teeth, which is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's how Rocky rolls. So, on to number two, Ellen Ripley versus the Alien Queen in Aliens.
Get away from her, you bitch.
Yes. Sigourney Weaver's defining moment as an actress, probably.
And what's great about it is, actually, this showdown starts all the way back in the movie when she pulls Newt out of the cocoon, and one of the cocoons opens, one of the pods opens. She gives that look to the Alien Queen and then just completely douses the eggs with fire, which was awesome. And then, of course, she gets in the, like, you know.
I think you'll notice a lot of these, it's all about the build-up.
Absolutely. These are the kind of movies that make people just stand up and go, you scream and you cheer and that kind of thing. And that's these kind of showdowns, which, of course, doing that brings you to number one.
Number one, which is the fanboy orgasm heard around the world when Yoda busts out his lightsaber on Count Dooku in the prequel, Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. This had to be like, for 30 years, people were waiting to see Yoda, like, womp on somebody.
Yeah.
And they set it up. I mean, George Lucas was like probably like a little kid, like, while they were getting ready to do this scene, like, watch this.
Well, it was one of those things that in episode two, when you started to be like, wait, a CGI Yoda? You totally understand why there's a CGI. And you look at it now, the CGI kind of breaks down. You can totally tell they're morphing Christopher Lee's face onto the body. But I'll tell you, when I'm sitting in that theater, first time I saw episode two, and Yoda busts out his lightsaber, it just brought the house down.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably the defining moment of that second trilogy.
Absolutely.
Because I mean, everybody says it wasn't as good as the first trilogy, which, not even close. But that moment right there made it worth it for all those Star Wars fans. They sat through a full movie of Jar Jar Binks and would probably do it again to see that.
Yeah, and I mean, the third movie had some great lightsaber things with Palpatine
Yoda.
and Mace Windu and everything. But yeah, the What'd you say?
Yoda's the man.
That's right. Yoda is the man. So
anyway, some honorable mentions.
Of course. Well, let's throw the other ones that were the debatable ones. You know, Luke versus Darth in Star Wars Episode 4, or Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. Rocky versus Apollo Creed in Rocky. But let's throw another couple ones out there. You do this first one, which is yours.
Optimus Prime versus Megatron.
Not in the Summers movie, because
not in Michael Bay's
you don't actually see anything. They kind of like fight on the side while
this is the 1986 one where Optimus Prime ultimately meets his maker, goes to the big, you know, Ford dealership in the sky, or Chevy dealership, whatever they are. But probably one of the coolest cartoon fight scenes you're ever going to see.
Yeah, debatable. So, but that's I'll give
it. It was
that.
A very significant point in history.
Yes, and so. I'm going to throw one out there for the ladies. Let's talk about Daniel Cleaver and Mark Darcy. That would be Hugh Grant and
Colin Firth
in Bridget Jones's Diary. Not because it's actually a big smackdown, but it's probably the most realistic fight scene. Because I've seen people come out of a bar and get in a fight, and it's not like Jet Li and David and Jason Statham.
Right. People aren't like breaking bottles over each other's heads.
They like slap and they grab each other's clothes and they like trip and fall, and that's where they skin their knee. That's where they get their wounds and medals from the fight. But that's let's throw that out because it's one of the funniest scenes out there, and it's a great smackdown scene.
See, we incorporated everything.
We're awesome.
So, but there you have it, the official Fat Guys 10 best cinematic showdowns
in our lives
of all time-ish.
Yes. So we got to go to a break. When we come back, we got interviews with Rod Lurie, Chris Kane, and John Boyd. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. This week we've been honored with some great interviews, and we're going to get right to those. The first one, we talked to Rod Lurie, the director of Resurrecting the Champ, one of the finest movies out right now, and something definitely not to miss. And it was great to have a chance to talk to him and find out what he had to say, not just about the movie, but about working with Sam Jackson, as well as, just something about our own industry, the internet and journalism. So let's move on and listen to what Rod Lurie had to say.
Resurrecting Champ is a story about a young journalist who's down on his luck and finds a bum on the street who turns out to have been one of the great boxers of all time. And he writes an article about him, and there's a pretty shocking twist that occurs as a result of this article. This movie, which is really a lot about the relationships between fathers and sons, it was not really reflected in the original article, because the original article was about a reporter and his coming to grips with the shadow of his dad, and in our movie it's about a reporter trying to fix the relationship with a six-year-old son.
It's kind of hard to say whether this is Samuel L. Jackson's movie or Josh Hartnett's movie, because both characters kind of have a very strong storyline. How did you approach him and say, no, I want you to do this differently and go into this character?
You know what? You don't give Samuel L. Jackson direction ever, really. I mean, he's one of those actors who really comes with a fully formed character. You know, he was showing me how he wanted this great character to look. He showed me the hair, he showed me the teeth, he showed me the eyes, he showed me the scars, he showed me the walk, he showed me the talk. And it was always great, you know. That's why he's one of the greatest actors in the world, is because he does his job so completely, you don't have to do yours. I'll give you a lesson on how you direct Sam Jackson. It's very simple. Get out your pen. What you do is you yell action. You go away, you make a sandwich, and you come back and you yell cut. And there you go.
Now, were you a journalist during the time of the internet, or was it kind of like before?
You know, I dumped out of journalism in around 1999 when I was making a movie called The Contender, and, you know, the conflicts of interest were just so strong. So I got out just as the internet was really starting to percolate. And I have to say that, you know, the internet is taking over the world. It's taking over everything. It's taking over journalism. You know, we'll be lucky to have, in 10 years, to have, six, seven newspapers in the entire United States. And entertainment journalism really belongs to the internet now. This is where the future of journalism is and will forever be.
And Kevin, did I hear him mention that the internet is like the future?
Yeah. And in fact, he said that pretty much the internet owns entertainment journalism. And I think I want to take this clip and send it to all of the studios and say, listen, this guy knows his stuff.
Yeah, make him the head of, like, Warner Brothers.
That's right. Let us see these movies. I'm going to send it to people at Lionsgate and say, what are you thinking?
You should have screened War. Exactly. We gave his movie a totally rocks.
Yeah, absolutely. So
we gave your movie whatever.
Yes. Well, let's move on. We've got also an interview with Chris Kane, who directed September Dawn, and he's going to talk a little bit about that. And I apologize for some sound quality on this, but yeah, this is what you get.
For people who don't know much about the movie, can you just explain what the movie is about?
I can. On September 11th, 1857, a wagon train of 120-plus men, women, and children were massacred outside of Cedar City, Utah, by Mormons. It was an act of religious fanaticism, which is what we're dealing with on a global basis today.
What's been the reaction from the Mormon Church on this?
Basically, would like it to just go away and never be heard from again. It's not a very flattering picture of that specific time. Officially, their position is that, yes, it happened, and it's too bad it happened. They still isolate Brigham Young from involvement.
How did you go about doing the research to make sure you're as accurate as possible?
With the Internet today, almost everything ever said or written is available someplace on the Internet. The Mormon Church itself has probably one of the greatest libraries of information regarding the church and things that happened and documents of any place in the world, and they're all accessible. You can get to them. There was, as an example, John D. Lee wrote a confession that was 27, 28 pages long that dictates and details almost exactly how the massacre happened and how his involvement was in it and why it happened and how he got blamed for the whole thing. Almost every word that Brigham Young spoke or wrote is available someplace in the documents of the church.
We also had a chance to talk with John Voight, who plays one of the Mormon leaders in September Dawn. And I'll tell you, John Voight is an awesome guy. He was a great interview.
He's my hero.
I'll tell you, here's a clip. Here's some stuff from him.
This is an important piece, not only to tell this story because it's important to bring truth to every part of history, but also it is relevant to our time. Unfortunately, religious fanaticism is now upon us in a totalitarian way. We've faced Nazism and we faced communism, and now it seems there's a new totalitarian villain in our midst, and it's religious fanaticism. You know, the Muslim, Islamic fanaticism.
Have you faced any Mormon reaction to this?
I haven't really, but I know it's tough. Hey, listen, it's tough. It would be tough for any religion. Look, every religion needs to reveal its history, both good and bad, and if it has blood on its hands, it has to purify itself. It has to address this before it passes doctrine on to new generations. No fragment of the thinking that went into this should be passed on to another generation. The Mormons, and understandably, are ducking it a little bit, you know? They don't want to respond to it. They're feeling that it should go away, you know? But I feel very strongly that we have to look at these difficult things. On the other hand, I have to say that this is not in any way an attack on the Mormon Church of today. It's a totally different church than it was 150 years ago. It's a very, very different time.
You were talking about the modern parallels here. What do you want people to take away after they see this movie?
I think that the obvious parallels to what's going on in the various mosques, even in this country, by the way, it's a very serious situation where the Wahhabi sect from Saudi Arabia is being taught in the mosques which they built in this country. And they're teaching hatred right here on our land, a hatred of a democracy, hatred of the United States, and we're seeing that it's had deep roots, and it goes back. This has been prepared for, so it's a dangerous time. And when I see this film, I say, well, this is the kind of stuff, when I have that speech in the church, this stuff is going on in mosques in our very country.
Now, if you heard that, John Voight really kind of unloaded at the end of this interview.
Yeah.
And he's great, because I got to hand it to him. This is a guy who doesn't mince words. He doesn't worry if he says something that's not politically correct. This guy is one of the coolest guys in Hollywood. I love John Voight. I'll be his adopted son.
And I think he's down to party.
That's right.
I don't think you heard it in the interview, but he totally invited us out for drinks.
Absolutely. He said, well, maybe we'll meet. And I'm like, yeah, I'll look you up. He's like,
heck,
rock
yeah.
On, man.
Can we go, like, visit your daughter?
Right.
Anyways.
Right. Well, we got to wrap this up. When we come back, we're going to review it.
We'll take it home, Kevin.
That's
we're
right.
Take
we're
going to
we're gonna talk a little bit about what we did and look for next week. Hey there, everybody out there in movie land. Thank you for coming back, and hello to Drew Nugent. I thought I'd throw that out there again.
Yeah, that's our, twice true.
Our
you,
fan.
You
who,
totally owe us $5 now.
That's right. You got to send us Chipotle coupons or something like
sweet.
That.
Sweet.
We come to another end of the show. You know, my tears in my eyes, and I'm, you know, sad to see end of the show.
It's always but, sad here in the magical studio in the sky.
That's right. We will be back next week with another edition of Fat Guys at the Movies. Let's look at what our reviews were. Let's do the review wrap-up. Of course, the first one, the movies that we didn't see, War, Neil
rocks.
Broke with tradition and gave it a preemptive rock.
I'm probably going to eat my words next week because I'll probably go see it and
I'm sure
be like,
will.
God, this is terrible.
Can't be that good. I Said kind of sucks. Say Illegal Tender, not even worth talking about because they didn't do anything. Mr. Bean's Holiday, I saw, kind of rocks.
I'm following the rules on this one. Kind of sucks.
No. They screened it. You just didn't go. That's
yeah,
a difference.
So? That's
There's
so?
A difference. But anyways, other movies that we did see, The Nanny Diaries, I Said kind of rocks.
I gave it a definitely rocks. Enjoyed
definitely
it.
Rocks. Resurrecting the Champ, that's my rocks. That's one of my picks for the week.
I gave it a kind of rocks. I enjoy Sam Jackson.
Yes. I'm Sam Jackson. September Dawn, as much as I love John Voight and as cool as he was, I kind of give it a kind of sucks for the TV movie quality.
Yeah, it was a big massacre of suck. So.
Well, what do we got going on next week, Neil?
Next week we are going to there's no good way to put this.
There's no way to introduce this.
Some balls of fury.
That's
next
right.
week, which I really this is going to be an awesome movie. I cannot wait to see Balls
yes,
of Fury.
Yes, because nothing says quality like a late August
It's got
release.
Walking.
Yeah.
Just for walk-ins in it.
Geely had walk-in in it. That doesn't save a movie.
It got one star from me because of walk-in. Yeah. Anyways, we're also going to take on some scarier flicks. Halloween.
That's right.
Rob Zombie's remake. And
again, big surprise. August release. Why is that? Maybe because it stinks.
And James Wan is...
Who's a cool cat, too.
Directing Death Sentence with Kevin Bacon.
Yes. And we might have some interviews.
You know what?
For
we'll just
well.
Do like, instead of a top 10 list next week, we'll just do like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, like see who can get there in less than 6 degrees.
I've got like 3 or 4 because I was in Shawshank Redemption.
Oh. Wow. Anyways.
Ha!
We're not going to do that. So that's next week. Make sure you join us. Once again, fatguysthemovies.com.
If you liked our interviews, you can hear extended versions of our interviews at fatguysofthemovies.com.
Yes. Also, iTunes. If you'd like to get us on iTunes, go to the iTunes store, search Fat Guys of the Movies. You can also email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or give us a call, as Drew did, 614-388-8735.
We'll see you at the movies.
Adios.